Holy smokes, what a morning already. Oh, what a bunch of wonderful faces there on Zoom. Good to see everybody, and everyone here in the room is so great. So this month we've been talking about this, the mundane, the sacred, the profane. Oh my. So today is the oh my. So in our Declaration of Principles, Ernest Holmes says, "We believe in the individualization of spirit within us, and that all people are individualizations of the one spirit." Holmes did not differentiate between the various parts of our lives or tell us that only the sacred is part of spirit. He specified that all of every person is sacred. This means that all parts of ourselves, the sacred and the mundane, and the profane must be the good or the divine or the universe, whatever the choice is that you decide to call it. There is a place for every color in the palette, just like there's a place for every aspect of life as the good. So as we look at that, because how easy is it sometimes we get into cleaning the toilets and we're like, ugh. This is horrible. I don't want to do this. Well, some people like doing it. I'm maybe not one of those people. Nobody likes doing it. I don't know. And but it's that mundane thing that we choose to do on a daily basis or a weekly basis. And then there's the sacred. Those are the things I think that we sometimes will look at and go, "Ooh, I like that. That's how I want to be. I want to show up spiritual. I want to show up in that way." And then there is the profane. Those are the ways that sometimes we're showing up in other ways that are maybe not as sparkly and shiny as we might. But the thing is, they're all the good. They're all the divine. So what it is becoming aware of our oneness. And what a beautiful meditation, Georgia. So perfect for today. It's talking about oneness. And how we need to working towards becoming aware. Despite knowing the idea of oneness, it can be hard to embody that knowing in everyday life, especially when things show up that we're like, I don't really like that. I don't really like how my partner showed up or my kids showed up or even the driver on the street. But yet it's looking at them through that eyes of that divine, that Georgia, that companion of knowing that they are spirit. Having this human experience as well. And we don't know the messiness of it, of what's going on in their day. But we also like to categorize our lives sometimes. We put ourselves into little boxes. I don't know if any of you find that, but I sometimes will be in my minister box, or sometimes I'll be in my bratty little box over here, stomping my feet because I don't want whatever I don't want to happen, happen. Right, and I categorize myself rather than accepting all the pieces of me that, yeah, today I can show up in certain ways and it's okay, and I can show up in other ways and that's also perfectly fine. There's always a piece within us that is whole, perfect, and complete, and it's when we can tune into that piece of ourselves and love that piece of ourselves that life becomes that little less challenging. I don't know about you, but I find that sometimes when I can just let go. And go, okay, so what? Now what? How do I change that? How do I move into that next iteration? So, our brains are like categories. So, it's unpacking those things. So, Ernest Holmes says, then every part of our lives must be that one thing. This includes the parts that we've buried, and the hard part is sometimes it's even the things that maybe we're ashamed of. You know, going into Brené Brown's work, the blame, guilt, looking at that. Sometimes there's pieces that we show up in ways. There might be a past. I don't like to say mistakes. I like to say a misstep. Right? Because that's what it is. We're always doing the best that we can at that time, in that moment. I don't think intentionally. I mean, there are some people that may, but I think 99.8 of us are always trying to do our best, working towards doing our best and not to harm anybody. So knowing that God is all there is means accepting every part of ourselves as the sacred being that we are, and understanding that we don't get to pick, choose, or categorize one and not the one. So Ernest Holmes says, spirituality is a constant, consistent attempt to feel the presence of God in everything and in everyone. That's in Science of Mind, page 34.1. So what aspects of life is the hardest for you to remember oneness? Let's take a moment and think about that. What is the hardest part of life for you to remember oneness? So that might be a little bit of homework later on this talk. So think about that. And see where in our lives that sometimes we're not looking at others through the eyes of oneness. So the other piece then is being aware of oneness, is enjoying it, bringing all of life together. The next is stepping away from judgment. Now, we've just been having this in the forgiveness course, so it was perfect that you brought that in, Michelle. We've been talking about non-judgment, about not judging other things or often, but often we prefer to judge others rather than them seeing them as spirit. And just having this human experience. So this judgment can sometimes be a mirror shining on parts of ourselves that maybe we haven't accepted. Sometimes I know I'll show up in a way and I'll be like, oh, why did I do that? Or I'll see it happening in my daughter or something, and I'll be like, oh, that apple didn't fall far from the tree on that. And I can see that space of me that maybe I haven't behaved in the way I want. Yet I also see the good too. But sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget to allow myself that good. That's give myself that pat on the back that, hey, you're doing a pretty good job here. You're just, you know, things, life happens, but it's not judging ourselves all the time for the bad things, but it's accepting the good things in ourselves as well. These things, we need to look at releasing all these old judgments and hurts and thoughts that are part of ourselves that we don't accept. But these can't be truly released until we bring them into the light and look at them. So we're talking a little bit about shadow work, the Debbie Ford, the work that she did about bringing out that shadow. Because once we can look at that darker place of ourselves and accept it, then that's when we become whole. You know, we're already whole, but in our bodies we can feel that togetherness. So we own and accept those parts of ourselves that we might have judged them as unlovable. So now we find that we need to judge others gently falls away. When we can love ourselves more, and I start here, I can look out and I can love others a little more as well. It always starts, I believe, and I believe this teaching talks about, it always starts within. So once we love and forgive ourselves for whatever it may be, those judgments, that's when we can really step into loving others. Like I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but I've seen it happen in my relationship with my husband where something he's been doing, or we've been married 33 years, people, things happen. And there'll be once in a while that there'll be a little bit of a rub that we're not necessarily getting along the best. And so I'm thinking he needs to change. He's thinking I need to change. But then what I do is I move aside, do my prayer work, do my meditation, and I start shifting my consciousness. And when I start shifting my consciousness, that's when I find a shift in our relationship happens. And he hasn't changed at all, but all of a sudden I'm looking at him like, oh, he's kind of cute. Oh, maybe you should go out on a date night. And it's funny because it's just, he hasn't done anything different, but I have. So I've changed and I've shifted. And the thing is, we're here in spiritual community, and how fortunate for us, because we're here to work on things together. And New Thought, sometimes this type of teaching, we think, okay, we have to go, we're maybe sick, maybe we're having a problem, so we go and say, okay, we need to go solve this ourselves. We need to go do our prayer, we need to do our meditation, and we turn away from the community. But the thing is, this is where we can show up in that safe place, in that messiness of being human, and know, not shame ourselves for, oh, what kind of religious scientist am I if I'm sick or if I'm this or I'm that, but that doesn't matter. It's when we're working together and people see the truth of who you really are at any given time. So in that sense, we need to come together where we can look at, it's when we're together in spiritual community and doing spiritual practice and growing together, that's the polishing of the stones. That's where our rough edges are getting that smoothed out to where we want to be. So Mark Nepo, in his book, 7,000 Ways to Listen, Staying Close to What is Sacred, he says, perhaps the divine nature of things is disclosed to us through our humanity, moment by feeling moment. Moment by feeling moment. He says that Wayne Mueller speaks of courage to see what's whole beneath what's broken. And the French novelist, Nobel Prize winner André Gide says, if you go deeply enough into the personal, you reach the universal. If you go deep enough into the personal, you reach that universal. And that is that oneness, that place in us, that spirit that resides there. He says it's like swimming in the sea. Each stroke reveals a new vision and an experience of life. In the moments that we move through what is broken and personal, we are lifted by the wave and sense the current underneath our pain. Yet in that moment, we're stuck in what is broken and personal. And then we're tossed under and experience what seems like God's absence in the drowning tumble of our pain. The seeming presence and absence of God unfolds moment by moment. He says, we think God is blinking when it is we in our humanness and stubbornness who don't see, who we see and then we don't. So being stuck in what is broken and personal is an unavoidable human mood. How long we live there depends on not avoiding feeling broken and personal, but on feeling it deeply enough to reach what's universal in the heart of our very personal experience. And that's what it's about. It's that diving deep sometimes, allowing what is happening within us to go through. And that is where the shadow work and forgiveness comes in. And that is, we're letting go of those judgments that maybe come from some hidden beliefs that we have. I have an accountability partner, and we've been working together for, oh, about 14 years. We meet twice a month, and then we always pick a book to work on as well as doing our monthly goals. So this last, it's been about 8 months we've been working on it now, and it's called The Energy of Money by Marie Nemeth. And in it, there's the one chapter where I'm principle 6. I think there's 12 principles. But this might take us a year and a half to get through this book. But she talks about what are those hidden beliefs that we have, those things that are unconscious that we're not aware of. Now, she's talking about it in the sense of money, but it was interesting that when I started to dig in and go through the work and answer the questions that she asked, I uncovered one that I really didn't know I had. But the thing that was really interesting for me was that once I discovered it, I saw the pattern in all different places in my life. So I'll tell you mine. We're not judging here, right? We're stepping away from judgment, but it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Oh, if I turn a paper in late, or if I show up late, or if I do this, or if I do that, it just doesn't matter. But then that was translating to, I don't matter. In a lot of different things. not putting in my commitment, not putting in my time and effort, when that is really what I wanted to do, that piece of me. So I'm working on that one. Now that I know it, I'm aware of it, I can work through it. But I wasn't aware of it before. And I can see, looking back through my whole life, how many times that belief stopped me in my tracks. And if I believe in this teaching, I believe in this teaching that we talk about, that we can change our life, change our thoughts, then what am I doing? It's like the story of the community that there was no rain for the longest time. And it was, they wanted to grow things. They were starting to starve and they needed rain. So they gathered together in ceremony and did a big circle, and they were calling in to the rain for the rain to come, and everybody came. But when you looked around, they all showed up to do this, but there was only one little girl who brought her umbrella. Right? Because she believed that this was going to work. She believed. So the third thing about this, pulling this all together, is seeing the good in all things. And in this world today, it may be really challenging to stay present to what is happening around us. I was talking to my daughter the other, or my son actually, we went out for lunch, and he was saying, "Mom, I wish I grew up in the time that you grew up." He goes, "You didn't have all these people texting you all the time. You weren't always connected to your phone. You actually had to pick up or be home for somebody to get a hold of you, rather than this constant distraction." And I even found it this morning. I was starting my journal, and then all of a sudden I heard a little beep on my phone. So in the middle of my journaling, I stop. Oh, and then next thing I know, I'm on Facebook, and I'm on and I'm like, okay, hold it. What's going on? So these, with constant technology at our fingertips and the ever-growing to-do list. I don't know about your list, but my list some days feels like it's extremely long. But then becoming present often brings to us an awareness of all the pain and suffering in the world, with the wars, conflict, violence, neglect, poverty, disease, climate change, and blah, 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 and on and on. We can be pulled in so many million different directions. So it is in those moments that we're called to go back and remember the oneness. And it may not look like it, but just remember that it's a derivative of the oneness. These things that don't necessarily look the way they what we deem as how they should look. You know, it's when we can see and look and go, okay, so what, now what? How can I make a difference? What is mine to do in this? If I see what's going on in the world and there's something, maybe it's bringing a food basket, or one of our other members, Kelly's, offered to start a coat collection for the fall coming, or for the winter season coming up. So we're going to roll that out soon too. But it's what can we do? And then I think it ties back, it really ties back to gratitude for our life and for where we are. So there's a story about when the war in the Ukraine started, the children and adults would look up when every rocket or airplane passed overhead. And there was great fear that everything flying by was a sign that their life was about to end. But after a time, they continued to look up whenever a rocket or airplane flew by, not in fear, but rather in gratitude that it was continuing past them. So when looked at from a spiritual lens, even the reminders of war can lead us to a place of gratitude over fear. And I was talking to a friend the other night, and we were talking about war, and they grew up in a country where they grew up with war all around them. And they had boat people leaving their country, and they live close to the river. And they could hear at night people screaming, you know, or crying. But there was nothing as a little child that they could do. But that memory stays with them. And I realize how grateful, each one of us here, or and maybe somebody here has experienced these different things as well, but we're very fortunate in North America with what we have. So with gratitude, it brought me to find Richard Wagamese, who I absolutely love. Wagamese from Embers. He is an Ojibwe poet. And he says, watching morning break, I realize again that darkness doesn't kill the light. It defines it. I believe that now. For years, I didn't. I believe that I was my failures, mistakes, misjudgments, shortcomings, and wrongs. But I'm not those things. I am the light that shines from my faith, my courage, my willingness to be vulnerable, and to be responsible and accountable. We have heard that this week in another as well. Moments of darkness only highlight that truth these days. I'm moving beyond shame. I'm basking in the light of my own recovery and the brilliance that comes from allowing myself to be seen as I am, warts and all. I'm not just those warts either. I'm the frog who wears them, gradually becoming a prince. Right? Beautiful. And in it, he talks to his elder. He says, me, what if we're wrong? And the old woman says, wrong about what? He says, all the ceremony, prayer, meditation. What if at the end of it all, there is nothing? The old woman says, then we still come out better people. He asks, how? The old woman says, can you think of a better way to live than in gratitude? Can you think of a better way to be than be kind, loving, compassionate, respectful, courageous, truthful, and forgiving? Even if we're wrong, can you think of a better way to breathe than through all that? And he said, I couldn't, I can't, and I continue. So, wrapping that up, we've gone through the journey of oneness, looking at our shadows, our forgiveness, and allowing everything to come together in gratitude for who we are, knowing that who we are matters in this world. Oh, I just said that and just clued that I was talking about it just doesn't matter, but it does matter. It does matter. Each one of you matter. And the ripple that you're creating out in this world by doing your own work, by moving through this, is going to change, is going to shift the consciousness. So seeing that perfection exists at the level of spirit does not allow us to turn away, but rather calls us deeper into action, fully living the sacred, fully living the mundane and profane parts of our lives each and every day. It is up to us to find and express all those aspects in divine balance in our lives. Can we see the beauty of the sacred and the profane? The shock of the profane in the mundane? The routine of mundane in the sacred? Right? They say do everything as a meditation. When we open up our watercolor palette to paint a masterpiece, we step fully into our consciousness to see the gift that each color brings and watch as the water turns their color into something new. So homework this week. How can you practice self-compassion this week? How can you practice self-compassion and ask yourself, what aspects of life is it hardest for you to remember oneness? And next week we can talk about that because we're going to be dealing with that we are here as a spiritual community, the fourth noble truth of we're walking each other home. So let's come with those ideas of where am I get stuck in that question. So So ends the lesson, and I will take that into prayer now, knowing the truth of all things, that there is one life, one love, one universal divine mind. And that divine mind is joy, it is gratitude, it is love. So knowing that that is that divine peace, and knowing that there is oneness, I know that I am one with that. So knowing that I am, I know that each of you are one with that. Allow that open-heartedness of connecting to that divine source, that we are spirit having this human experience, and knowing that life is unfolding in perfection. So today I claim the joy and the awe of looking at life in a new way, of accepting myself, of accepting others, of knowing that the life of the mundane, the sacred, and the profane are all part of the one. There is no separation. It is all one thing. So today I walk into that place of knowing truth, and I am grateful. I'm grateful for this time together. I'm grateful for all the words that have been spoken. I'm grateful for the wise words of Richard Wagamese and Mark Nepo and Ernest Holmes. So as I bring this in today, knowing this gratitude, I allow these words to go out into that law of mind, into the action that always says yes. I put my thought of acceptance and love into that law, knowing that it will come back. I let it be, I let it go, and ask you to join me in saying, and so it is.